time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light our way. Between us, love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us.
Today. In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words: "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life."
What happened to the power of God? Like all of Zeus astray. A great awakening. All God's glory on display. A great awakening. We're lost inside the dark. Light our way. Help us to know who you are today. Then nothing stands between us. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us.
He responded. And now, over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. Yes, it is, yes, it is. And it's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming.
Your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Well, good Sunday, everybody. Dale Gentry here on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station. And we are praying today. And because we know the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. This is the Lord's Day. People, getting ready to go to church, coming home from church, whatever it may be. But I just speak a blessing upon all of you, upon the pastors who are ministering the word of the Lord today. Thank you for being a part of BPN Radio. And if you desire to be a part of our prayer team, you can go to bpnradio.com. And you can sign up as a part of our prayer team. We'll give you more information about that. We have a very special broadcast today. I'm going to do something that I have never, ever done here on BPN Radio. But recently I ministered with one of my spiritual sons, Art Evans, who is the pastor of the Great Church Christian Worship Center in San Diego, California. And he ministered on prayer. And I want to play that message on prayer. I know I've never done this, playing a message, because it's not actually a preaching, teaching broadcast. It is a prayer broadcast. But I believe that you're going to be blessed by one of the greatest teachings I've ever heard on prayer. So without further ado, here is one of my spiritual sons, Art Evans, from San Diego, California. You're going to really be ministered to on prayer right now.
to do what I have been assigned to do, which is to continue to break down the word that we have received this week from the prophet, which is a very clear word regarding access. Access defined as a way of entering and a way of leaving. Username is the blood of the Lamb, and the password is Jesus, all capitals, J-E-S-U-S. A way of entering and a way of leaving. Now, in regard to prayer, prayer is the response to the invitation of access to God's presence. I'm going to say that again, and then we're going to move on. Prayer is the response to the invitation of the access to the presence of God. God's invited us. He's given us access. Prayer is the appropriate response where we are responding to that invitation with the expectation and desire of accessing the presence of God. Oftentimes, in accessing the presence of God, you are not only given a way in, but simultaneously, you are finding a way out of some things. You're finding a way through some things. But access is granted us by God through His Son, Jesus Christ, who does not only afford us the way, He is the way. Now remember this, I said it yesterday, and I think it's very, very important for us who are prayers. Man is made by God, for God, to be with God. You know, there's a lot of people who believe that they are made by God, but they don't fully understand that they've been made for God. And as a consequence, they don't live with God. There's many, many people who believe in God that don't live with God. And then there's many people who believe God made them and that they are even for God. And let me say it this way. They do a lot for God, but they do very little with God. To any ministers who are here this morning, I want to tell you there's a big difference of working for God and working with God. Fathers and mothers, let me tell you, there's a big difference in raising your kids for God or raising your kids with God. And the list goes on. You can apply it in every area of your life. We have been created by God, for God, but also to be with God. And anything less than that divine design is going to leave us held captive to whatever schemes and operations the enemy is successful in opposing our lives with. So we have been created with a divine deficiency that can only be filled by the face of God. Let's say it this way. Until you see the face of God, the hole in your heart will not be filled. And even if you say, well, I've seen Him, God's design is that we live with Him, seeing Him in a fellowship, communion, on a lifestyle basis. You know, when I'm going to the airport to leave, I don't even make it to the gate, and my heart is breaking because I know I am not going to see Wendy's face for several days. And I'm only going to be gone a few days, not weeks or months. But there's just something of divine covenant between she and me that God has ordained that I cannot bear not seeing her face. Oh, I can hear her voice on the phone. Even if I Skype, that's a blessing. But there's nothing like face-to-face encounter. And it's the same as we have been created in God's image and in God's likeness. There is no place like God. There is no one like God. And until we've seen God's face, there is something of a deficiency in our lives. So we've been given access. Now, before I say that what I'm going to say next, I want to prerequisite it with this. Access has been given through Jesus Christ by God the Father. The blood of the Lamb has done its work. The blood of the Lamb is doing its work. And the blood of the Lamb will always, for all eternity, do its work. The blood has accomplished its work. It's continuing its work, and it will forever fulfill its work. But there is something regarding access into the presence of God that we are responsible for. A number of things. But one of the things that I want us to consider this morning, because we're, after all, we are hungry for God. We realize that the difference between thriving and merely surviving is access. We believe that the face of God fulfills all of our heart's cravings and the fullness of our desires and potential. We believe that we've been created not only by God and for God, but to be with God. His presence is everything to us. Then we must consider God's directives regarding this access. The blood has done its work. It will do its work, and it will always complete its work. However, let me ask this question. According to Psalm number 24, inspired by the Holy Ghost, David declares, "Who will ascend unto the hill of the Lord?" Amplified actually says, "Who will go up and into the mountain of God?" Most of you know the answer. It's he who has clean hands and a pure heart. I want to talk to you this morning about something that I believe is a critical element to our access. I'm going to read this for you from the Amplified Translation in verse 3 and 4 of Psalm 24. Who will go up and into? Everyone say access. Who's going to go into the mountain of the Lord, and who will stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted himself up to falsehood or to what is false, and who has not sworn deceitfully. Jesus said it this way. If you're taking notes, you can write the reference, Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Not blessed are the hungry, blessed are those who follow all of the rules, cross all of the T's, dot all of the R, pay their tithes, and go to corporate prayer meetings. You can do all of that, but blessed are the pure in heart. See, now we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty of it all. We're going to get down to that place where it's only you and the Spirit of the Lord, whether you have access or not. Now, the blood, it's done its work. It continues to do its work, and it will always accomplish its work. The blood has been supplied, and access has been granted, but there is a process whereby we must follow God's design in coming into his presence. For example, like those spy movies you might see, or FBI movies and such. I don't know which one I'm talking about, but they're kind of all the same, where just to get into the building, you have to be granted access. But once you get into the building, you're starting to go down certain hallways and into certain elevators, and you've got access to this part of the building, and you've got access to this part of the building. But the more and more valuable and powerful the information and substance of the building is, the more access is denied or granted, determined by what you're qualified for. You know, the blood of the Lamb made it possible for the priest to go into what is called the holiest of all, or the Holy of Holies. The blood made that possible. The blood of the Lamb. But before they could go from the outer court into the inner court. Are you following me now? Before the outer court, they had to go through their rituals and traditions and processes. But from the outer court into the inner court, this is even before the Holy of Holies, they would face what is called the laver. Now, the laver was a small basin, very uniquely designed, that God required them to wash at daily. What's interesting about this laver is that it was surrounded by mirrors, so that when the priest came in, knowing that he was headed for the Holy of Holies before he could go from one realm and dimension of the presence of God to the next dimension, he had to be qualified for that further access. He had to have a heart scan. You know, in those FBI buildings, sometimes you finally get to that innermost room where no one has access unless they can scan your eye. You know what I mean? And unless your eye print matches, you're not getting in. You made it through all of these other doors, all of these other elevators and hallways and guards, but there is something here that is so unique. And by the time you get to the presence of God, who is going to ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who's going to go and stand in His holy presence? Before you are able to come in, the blood has done its work. You're in the building, you're in the place, but now there is going to be a heart scan. In other words, when the priests were washing, God was checking them. And they were looking into the mirror, much like we look into the mirror of God's Word. See, the Word reveals. And if you have dirt or grime or something's not tied right, something's not in place right, they were washing. Oh God, search me and know me. And see if there's any wickedness in me. See if there's anything, Lord, that would grieve you before I take a step further. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O God, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. And what were they doing? They were washing and they were purifying, much now into the New Testament. In that place of privacy, there is tremendous investigation by the Spirit of God. Because after all, what God has accomplished for us in Christ is not so much to make you look all the better on the outside and even to make you smarter than you've ever been before. He will do it. How many of you know the anointing has amazing effects? But most of all, what God is after is your heart, because that's where you are qualified to be trusted with the stuff that can change your world. That's where our access is granted or denied in the New Testament. Anybody can come into the building if they'll come through the blood. But if you want to get into the innermost place of face-to-face encounter with God, where you can feel His breath and you can see His eyes and you can hear His voice, not at a distance, not over a wire, not through a fax or a Skype, but you want face-to-face time with God, there's going to be a heart scan to ensure that your heart is pure. Pure. Pure heart is a critical element to our access. When I was in Riverside, not far from here, as a young boy and teenager, we didn't have a whole lot of money, you know, so my parents would kind of save up what they needed to, and then they would either buy a half of a cow or a whole cow, all of the meat, you know, because we're not a vegetarian family. We eat meat from day one, you know what I'm saying? So my parents, they would save money by this tall, it was probably a 7 or 8 foot tall freezer. I mean, it was huge. And they would fill that thing full of meat for like a year or so. It's a lot of meat, a lot of money. The problem for me was that in the same freezer were Twinkies and Ding Dongs and Suzy Q's. And I had a pretty healthy sweet tooth. So they were regulated. You know, my mom would say, you know, you get one Twinkie for this, that. And I would always try to find a way. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to get one of those Twinkies. And they were on my mind constantly. Well, sure enough, one summer, my brother and I were playing ping pong out in the garage, and I decided, well, I'm going to have one of those cupcakes that I'm not supposed to have, and they're in the freezer. And, you know, they're good frozen, so I'm going to go ahead and have one now. And somehow my brother and I got distracted and carried away, and don't you know that I left that freezer open? Now, it's a miracle that I'm alive today, as most of you know. It's part of my miraculous story. Because when my family returned that evening after a 100-plus degree day, it did not take my mother and my father very long to discern where the horrific smell was coming from. What they needed to take time to discern was, how did this happen? And that didn't take very long either. Just start asking the questions about the ding-dongs and the hostess Twinkies. And they found that I had left that door open just enough for all of that meat to spoil and to ruin and begin to smell. And they had to throw all of it away. Now, I was disciplined. Yes, I was disciplined. And we'll leave it at that. Wow. I remember sitting down some month later, maybe a month, maybe 6 weeks. But I remember also being given the task of cleaning that freezer. Oh, it was horrible. Oh, I cleaned it the best that I could. I cleaned the outside. I cleaned the inside. I used all of the cleaners that my mother had given to me. And, you know, after everything that I did, that smell just would not go away. So I was concerned about it. I thought, well, I've not only ruined the meat for our year, for our family, but I've ruined this freezer. I've ruined our house. My bedroom smells bad. But my dad had the understanding, the strategy. Here's what we do now. We've cleaned it out. You've got everything removed that needs to be removed. Now here's the next step to secure that the stench and the horrid smell will go away, and that is this. Open it up as wide as you can and leave it open. So this is what I want to say to you. Maybe you've cleaned it out. Maybe you've repented. Maybe you've turned from all pride, selfishness, unforgiveness, sin, iniquity. But the only way that your heart is going to be made pure is if you will allow your heart, and only you can do this, to be open as wide as possible to the face of your God. Let Him see what He needs to see and say what He needs to say. Let Him have His opportunity to speak into the privacy of your heart, to root out, to pull down, to throw down, to destroy, to build and to plant, to refresh, to restore, to recreate, to do what is necessary so that all that sin and shame and death and the powers of darkness may have accomplished and ruined in your life, God can restore your heart and soul to a place of purity, innocence, thereby granting the qualifications necessary for the presence of your God. That when you stand in the presence of the Lord and the heart is being scanned, you know, there are things that we can be blinded to and things that we haven't even considered. I want to encourage you this morning as people of God, people of faith, and people of prayer. Don't settle for the outer court. Don't settle for the inner court. Not if the face of God is so important. Not if the presence of God is so important. Not if the access that has been granted cost God so much to afford us. Let us not settle for anything less than the face of God. He's worth it. And your life will forever be changed because of it. And sometimes things that we're blind to, things that we've not considered, would only be exposed and revealed in the presence of the Lord, where He begins to deal with things that we have justified or we have buried or we've hidden, thinking that God doesn't see or God doesn't know. He can deal with those things if we will give Him the opportunity. Your heart is worth guarding at all costs. Why? Because, for example, one among many, how important is faith to God? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Is faith of the flesh or of the heart? Faith is of the heart. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So let's say it this way. Because without faith it's impossible to please God, because by grace are we saved through faith, because the just will live by faith, because faith is so important, we could easily say that the covenant that God made with Abraham is righteousness by faith. All right, so let's put that into a quick process. Here it is. Covenant with God is a covenant of faith. Covenant of faith is a covenant of the heart. Therefore, our covenant with God is a covenant of the heart. If your heart is contaminated, your covenant is contaminated. If your heart is contaminated, your communion with God is contaminated. This is why we must guard our hearts at all costs, for out of it flows the very issues of life. Where we get ourselves into trouble, into captivity, and into bondage is when we allow things to contaminate our heart. They are not dealt with, or we try to hide things, or we try to justify things. But the most important element to our access with God, second only to the blood of the Lamb and the name of Jesus, is the condition and the posture of our heart. And I think it's very important that we all acknowledge nobody knows your heart like you and God. Nobody knows your heart like you and God. So we're going to look at several things that can help us discern the condition of our hearts. If the quality of our heart, the condition of our heart, the purity of our heart is so important, how can we measure it? How can we look to our hearts and discern what God's discerning? Well, there's a number of ways, but there are three primary things that I think we could look to in judging our own hearts so that we are not judged. Are you ready for this? Number one, motives. You and I, created in the image and the likeness of God, are among all of God's creation uniquely designed with the capacity to subject our minds and our hearts to an objective view to discern our motives. In other words, we have the capacity to ask ourselves, why am I doing what I'm doing? This is important. There are many Christians who settle for the outer court because they will not check their motives. They're justified. They're in some way convinced. Maybe they've just convinced themselves, the way I think is right. The way I see it is right. And come what may, they would not turn around and allow the laver of God's word to judge them. And asking, why am I doing what I'm doing? Isn't that a good question? For example, motives. Why do I come to church? Why? Am I coming to be seen? Am I coming to be heard? Why do I do what I... Now listen, you can get so connected to the Spirit of God, He won't let you make a move outside of His motive. Why do I do what I do when I do it? To whom I do it? Or why do I do what I do in private? What's my motive? If our motive is anything less than pleasing the God who saves us, then we need to bring that motive into subjection to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Why? Because who will go into His holy mountain and stand in His holy presence? Only those who have clean hands and a pure heart. That means clean in what I do on the outside and clean by what I do on the inside. It's very important. Why do I do what I do? And you know, sometimes it looks like this. You just have to sit down and get yourself into a quiet environment and pray and seek God. Say, Lord, I'm taking some time today for you to search my heart Lord, I'm not here right now to ask you anything or to petition you for anything, but there's something so very, very important in order for me to live in fellowship and communion with you. Lord, I need to know if there's anything of my motives, anything of my intentions that is not pleasing to you, Lord. I need you to purify my motives. Renew a right spirit within me. Motives oftentimes are revealed in His Word or by His Word. Let me read this to you. You're familiar with it, but in the Amplified translation, it's very, very powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word that God speaks is alive and it's full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword." Listen to this now. "Penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit of the joints and the marrow. It reveals the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thought and purposes of our hearts." Friend, this is why a lot of people avoid the Word. Because the moment I start looking into the Word, it's starting to look into me, and that makes me uncomfortable. But if purity of heart is what is necessary to receive the access that God has afforded us, then it's going to be worth it. If access is the difference between thriving and surviving, man, I want access. And I don't want to settle for the outer court or even the inner court. I'm going for the face of God. And that may require that I allow this Word to look into me, to expose and to sift and to analyze and to judge not only my intentions and motives, but my very thoughts and the purposes of my heart. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I saying what I'm saying? Why am I acting like I'm acting? Why am I dressing like I'm dressing? Why am I going where I'm going? What's my motive? This is one of the ways that we can check the purity of our hearts. Remember when the Pharisees, they were asking Jesus, or complaining to Jesus rather, about his disciples picking corn on the Sabbath. And then, as horrible as it is, they were eating it without washing their hands. And they came and they told Messiah how disqualified these men are. They're dirty. They're not only breaking the Sabbath, but they're eating the food that they're gathering. They haven't washed it. They haven't washed their hands. Jesus said, "You sepulcher full of whitewashed bones." He said, "You are so concerned about cleaning the outside of the cup while you leave the inside filthy." And then he made this statement: "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles the body, but rather it's what comes out of the mouth that makes unclean and defiles." Everybody, in church, it's normal. In the kingdom, it's normal. At work, we want you to present your best. Absolutely. But you know, if you're counting on your outward appearance and your outward actions and your outward presentation, we may look at you and think, how clean, how spiritual, how wonderful, how qualified. But when that heart scan goes off, you're going to be left on the outside because your motives are all about you. I don't want to be lifting my hands in the congregation and lifting my voice and left on the outside because I would not yield my heart, my attitudes, and my motives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You say, well, what's the right motive? Well, among several throughout the Word, here's one: love. As a matter of fact, why don't we just take a moment and let me read a bit of a background of what a good motive and heart posture may look like for the children of God who expect access with Him. Are you ready for this? Yes. Love endures long. It's patient and it's kind. Oh, some people, they are patient, but they are not kind about it. Love, this motive and heart posture that pleases God. Let's go back just for a moment. Let's think about this. A covenant with God is a covenant of faith. A covenant of faith is a covenant of the heart. Therefore, if our heart is contaminated, our covenant is contaminated, right? Faith is critically important to God because it is an expression of a pure heart. Faith works by love. If your motives do not agree with 1 Corinthians 13, when I came back to my house there in Riverside, everything looked great. The house looked great. The freezer looked great. But there was a horrific smell that immediately testified to us something is wrong on the inside. Here's how to purify and to walk in the right motive. Love is patient and kind. Love is never envious. It doesn't boil over with jealousy. It's not boastful. It's not vainglorious or conceited. It does not display itself haughtily. It may display itself as a servant, may display itself as generous and kind, but it will not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. Are you okay? We're just looking at what our heart's motive looks like when it's pure. It's not rude. It's not unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you going where you're going? Why are you saying what you're saying? Love doesn't insist on its own rights. As a matter of fact, according to Philippians chapter 2, love, after the greatest example of all who is Jesus Christ, considers everyone else more important than itself. This isn't one of those shouting lessons, I know, but it's so important. Love is not self-seeking. Why are you doing what you're doing? Is this about you? Is this self-seeking? It is not touchy. It is not fretful. It is not resentful. It takes no account of an evil that has been done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. How about that? Oh, now, that's a tremendous contribution to a pure heart. Just discipline yourself to believe the best about every person. You say, well, that's dangerous. That's reckless. That's biblical. It didn't say think the best about everyone. Actually believe it. Actually believe it. When it comes to anyone else, before you think the worst, or before you think this, that, or the other, at least give God his opportunity to bless and to strengthen and to further by believing the best about some people. Are you here? Believe the best about some people? Well, I'm going to read it again just in case somebody's missing it. Believe the best of every person. That's every person. That's the people that you know, the people that you don't know, the people that you understand, the people that you don't understand, the people that you like, the people that you don't like, the people that you engage with, the people that you don't engage with. All persons everywhere, just believe the best and trust God that he knows what he needs to know and he is faithful to do what only he can do anyway. Hey, okay. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances and it endures everything without weakening. Everybody say motives. All right, here is the second check of our hearts in regard to its purity and posture. You can tell a lot about your heart by what comes out of your mouth. Remember, Jesus said, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles and causes a man to be unclean, but what comes out of his mouth. Christian, you just can't say anything that comes to your mind. I know so many Christians who have justified their words and their confessions and conversations simply by saying, well, I just speak my mind. That's not always the best. Especially when it comes to keeping your heart pure, because words that come out of your mouth affect your heart. Not only is it the effects of your heart, but it is also in affecting your heart. All right? You say, well, how do you know if your heart is pure? Are your words pure? Because only out of the abundance of your heart will your mouth speak. Listen to your own words. Listen to your own vocabulary. Listen to your own confession. So words that come out of a pure heart are going to agree with God's words. words that come out of a pure heart are going to be words of love, words of forgiveness, words of life, words of truth, words of blessing. You know, the proverb says that in the power of the tongue is both life and death, blessing and cursing. We can't curse throughout our day, and just because the blood of the Lamb has opened up access for us, expect to go right into the presence of God. You need to be washed. You need to secure that your heart is right, both with God and with man. And even though there are some people that when, even though you've forgiven them, you can no longer be best friends or even fellow travelers with anymore, you can still have a pure heart toward them where you hold no ill will or desire that they fail in some way, but your heart can be pure toward them. It's important. It's important. Lest we settle for the out of court. Lest we settle for talking to God on a long-distance phone line or some kind. You know what I mean by that. Third check of our hearts. After our motives, our mouth, is our meditations. Sometimes you just need to stop and think about what you're thinking about. Why are you thinking about what you're thinking about? Now, there's a difference here between thoughts and meditations. Meditation is not thoughts that you have. Meditation is the thoughts that you have fellowship with. Meditation is the thoughts that you invite to come in. You know, when you get a knock at the door, you go to the door and you realize that there's a thought there that is not pleasing to God. It is not in agreement with love. It's not of peace and truth. That thought, you need to leave standing at the porch. Close the door. Let it go. Let it pass. Do not dwell on it. Do not meditate on it. Do not give any place to it, lest that idea becomes an imagination, which becomes a stronghold, which becomes a way of thinking and living. Sometimes someone will come to my door, and, you know, especially if it's a Girl Scout, I'm going to listen to the whole spiel. You know what I mean? Even though I already know, I'm not interested. Wendy, she's precious. She's at the door. I hear it. I'm upstairs. I can listen to the door. Even if it's a Girl Scout, I'm here to... Not interested. Thank you, though, honey. I'm like, well, that's the way it is. That's the way it should have been. That's what I need to do. Because what happens is, oftentimes, when I am not interested, by the time she's done talking to me, I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Well, we have these different people who come through our neighborhood like you all do, and people knock on the door. They got this, that, and the other. I would just stand there out of courtesy and listen to the whole thing, wasting their time, wasting my time, but I don't want to be rude. Listen, there are some thoughts that you just simply need to be downright rude with. You are not welcome here. I have nothing to do with you. I am not interested in what you're peddling. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. See, thoughts will come and they will knock at your door. But God, He is expecting us to take authority and dominion over those ideas and thoughts and things that the enemy may even send in order for us to fellowship with, that are designed to change the condition of our hearts. We are to pray right along with the psalmist, Lord, let the words of my heart, or my mouth rather, and the meditations of my heart be pleasing unto you, O God of my strength. Lord, let the words of my mouth and let the meditations of my heart be pleasing, Lord, to you. Our motives, the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, these are things that can really only be discerned and judged and corrected by your Spirit and God's Spirit working together. See, I can't look on the outside of your cup and determine whether the inside of your cup is clean or not. That's between you and God. My job, believe the best, because I want to keep my cup clean. But if we want access, God's done everything that he's going to do. The blood has done its work. It's doing its work, and it will always do its work. But is your heart pure? We cannot come into the presence of God having cursed other people. We can't come into the presence. As a matter of fact, remember when Jesus, he said, when it comes time to pray and seek God, and you finally made your way to the altar, he said, if you get to the altar itself and remember that there is aught between you and a brother, God says, I want you to leave your offering there, because you cannot come in here until you go make that right between you and them, because your heart must be pure. Then, once you have made that right, come back and I'll receive your offering. Let's finish with a scripture that is very, very powerful. 2 Chronicles 16:19. 2 Chronicles 16:19 says this: for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are blameless toward him. That word blameless in the Hebrew is actually defined as whose hearts are purely loyal. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro nonstop. You say, well, what's he looking for? He's looking for a pure heart. He's not looking for someone who's crossing all of their T's and dotting all of their I's and going through all of the rituals and traditions that maybe on the outside, we've got our own charismatic traditions. Let me tell you, we know how to act. We know what to say. We know how to dress at the current season. We got it down. Most of us do. But God is not looking on the outside. He's not looking even on intentions as much as he is looking for a heart that is purely loyal to him, which I believe is one way of saying from my heart, God, whatever you say is what I want. It's what I trust. It's what I obey. You are the Lord of my life, and I want you to search me, and I want you to know me. I want you to search all of the inward workings of my, every kingdom of my heart, every room, every closet, every nook and cranny, every corner. Lord, I want you shining your light of love, life, and truth into every area of my heart, so that at that end of the place, I can come boldly into your presence face to face. I want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to touch you. I want to be with you, because Lord, you are the one who made me to be with you. When we pray, we can't pray with the notion that God, it's our turn. We can't pray with God, we need you so desperately. He knows all of that. The only way that we have access is if we come with clean hands and a pure heart and have not emptied ourselves out to empty vanities and selfish living and motives. Saying, God, let my heart reflect yours. Let my nature reflect yours. And Lord, where no one else can see and no one else can know and no one else can discern, God, when you look at me, I want you to be pleased. It's not as important to me what everybody else thinks or what everybody else wants or what everybody else thinks they understand. God, I must have your approval, where you can say, this is my son, this is my daughter. So, well, the blood's enough. Evidently not. The blood is everything that God has supplied. And I mean, it is what cleanses us and washes us. But at the same time, if the blood were all that was required, all humankind would have access. But we come into his gates with thanksgiving. We come into his courts with praise. We believe that we come in offering not only the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but according to his own directive, offering the whole of our person as a living sacrifice unto God. The eyes of the Lord, they're looking to and fro. What's he looking for? Hearts that are purely loyal to Him. Now, that word eyes, do you see it at the front of that scripture for the eyes of the Lord? I do believe it means His eyes, but in its definition, it's possible that the translators took this to heart and gave us that word, but it's actually a Hebrew word, ayin, which is A-Y-I-N, which means the fountain. Oh, I wrote it down here exactly because it's powerful. The fountain of God's approval, favor, power, and supply. The fountain of God's approval, the fountain of God's favor, the fountain of God's power, the fountain of God's supply is running to and fro, looking for a place to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are purely loyal to Him. Let's stand and pray, all right?
Okay, that's wonderful. That is a wonderful message there by Art Evans, and I trust that you've been blessed today. I've broke the ordinary. Usually this is just all a prayer broadcast, but as I was ministering with Pastor Art Evans in San Diego, and he ministered this word about the heart and how we come into the holy place, I just felt like it was something that I really needed to share with everyone. So I trust that you've been blessed. Father, I just pray that today, on this Sunday, this Lord's Day, that each of us will have a pure heart. Create in us a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore unto us the joy of your salvation. Then we will teach transgressors your ways. And sinners shall be converted unto thee. And so, God, when you look at my heart, when you look at our hearts, may our hearts be pleasing unto you. And, Lord, if we're going to have access into the holy place, not just in the outer court or the inner court, but into the Holy of Holies, we must come with pure hands and a clean heart. And so, Lord, forgive us today of our sins. Forgive us of our impurities. Forgive us for standing in the outer court because we don't have access into the inner court, into the Holy of Holies, because of an impure heart. We pray today that our prayer lives will be very gratifying because we have been able to go into the holy place and commune with Him because we have clean hands and a pure heart. Thank you, Lord, for this word today on prayer, because this is a prayer broadcast. And we want to be more effective prayers. And so I just bless everyone that's been listening to the prayer broadcast today. I would like to remind you that Gene and I will be ministering today at Epicenter Church in Sugar Land, Texas, which is a suburb of Houston. Pastors Easy and Lena Jones, our longtime friends, are inviting you there to be with us. And remember our BPN Prayer Leaders Gathering, April 9 through 11, for impartation information, instructions, and lots of prayer as we prepare more and more leaders, prayer leaders, here in America. Thank you for being a part of BPN Radio, and we're going to be back tomorrow at this same time or any time. God bless you.
Been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.